Speaking of Australian school kids, they're taught about the Victorian gold rush of the 19th century. But the part of the story that's sometimes left out is that of the Chinese miners who came to our shores seeking fortune, but instead found discrimination and a lot of violence. This is the backdrop to New Gold Mountain, which is a four-part Australian drama that kicks off this Wednesday on SBS.
You've got one job. Chinese keep to their camp, and whites will keep to theirs.
What do you think will happen? The Guailu will find a murdered white woman in Chinese clothes.
She's cut right open.
Bone fractures. Significant blow to the side of the skull. A beating would be my guess, though an extreme one.
One of your people is going to hang. It's too late to change that.
Wenli Maher is TV and film critic for News.com and one of our regulars here on Breakfast. Hello, Wenli.
Good morning, Fran.
New Gold Mountain. It's a fictional drama, but it's about real history. How does it get the balance? Does it get it right?
I think the balance is pretty good. I mean, going to school in Australia in the 90s, it's not a story I knew much about at all, and certainly had me going onto Wikipedia afterwards. But the drama itself, the story is fictional, and it is like this very kind of twisty murder mystery. So that is what is necessary, I guess, in some ways to entice a lot of viewers in. But what you pick up as you're watching this murder mystery is a lot of the smaller details about, you know, the animosity between the British colonialists and the Chinese camp. And the story is centered on the head of the Chinese camp and how he has to kind of reduce himself and make the British colonialists think that, you know, that everything are their ideas, and it's just a way of sort of staving off the tension and the violence as much as possible.
Obviously, with a story like this, there's a lot of actors of Asian descent in this series. It's not all that common. I remember when Secret City had a major Chinese theme, there was suddenly a lot of Asian actors on the screen, which was great. But also in this series, behind the camera too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because Australia hasn't made a lot of these shows, there's not a lot of experience from non-Asian producers, filmmakers, writers in kind of dealing with these topics with authenticity. So what they've got is Corey Chen, who is a Taiwanese-Australian director. She directed all four episodes. Benjamin Law is one of the writers. And so when you get that behind-the-scenes involvement, you just get those smaller details. You get the authenticity. You get the fact that a lot of the dialogue is actually in Cantonese, and it just oscillates between Chinese and English, and you can see the rhythms and the patterns of how power is played out through even what language is used. Mm. And if you don't get those people behind the scenes, that's just not going to work as well.
So Benjamin Law is involved in this. This is a bit of a change of pace for Benjamin, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we all know he does comedy great and a lot of journalism and just writing in general, but it's great to see him kind of working on a drama as well.
Okay, and big news for TV bingers. This next Monday is the return of Succession. If you haven't seen Succession, it's a drama set in the glittering world of the ultra-rich and the ultra-power-hungry. It's 2 years since we last got Succession on our screens. I can't believe it's that long. How do they go? Worth the wait?
Definitely worth the wait. Anyone who remembers Succession season 2 finale, it ended on a cliffhanger, so you really, really want to know what was going to happen next. Of course, we had to wait 2 years. We were just hanging for the return, and it is so delicious. The power plays are even more escalated than before, and every single person on screen is doing the most humanly worst thing possible.
Yeah, I mean, series 2 really amplified the grotesque, but I thought it was better. It got better and better as it went on. There's a lot of trappings of wealth on screen. There's penthouses, there's helicopters, there's private jets. A lot of people, of course, hate these extreme symbols of wealth. How does Succession portray it? As wonderful, you know, aspirational, or, as I said, grotesque?
I think it's quite grotesque, personally. I mean, of course, you know, looking out all over New York through a penthouse sounds amazing, and I would love to do that. But if I had to contend with those kinds of people to have that, no thank you. No thank you very much. I will fly economy for the rest of my life.
All right, Wenli, you watch a lot of TV. What should we be looking out for this week?
There's a season 3 return of a Netflix series called You. It's about a very attractive, charismatic man who is unfortunately, a stalker and a murderer. And it was that show that became quite problematic because all these women and men fell in love with him, into the point that the actor had to come out and say, this is a bad guy. You should not actually really be, you know, kind of going, this is my internet boyfriend. So that's coming back for the third season. And there is a reboot of I Know What You Did Last Summer, which was a teen slasher movie from the 90s. And now it's been stretched out into 10 episodes. And originally it was a novel from the 1970s. So it seems like every generation has to have their own version of I Know What You Did Last Summer. And today Channel 7 will actually reveal their 2022 programming there up front. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of direction it goes. I suspect it'll be a lot more of the same, more of The Voice, more of Australia's Got Talent and all those shiny floor shows.
Oh, let's hope there's some fabulous homegrown drama in there too. Wenli, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Wenli Maher is TV and film critic for news.com.au.